we bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just a little less volume up here on the mic now. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Not sure what happened to our background track there, but it doesn't matter. We have our own little orchestra on board right here called Our Voice. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That word, hallelujah, you can take a little verb off now. I hate to keep instructing. I apologize. That wonderful word, hallelujah, comes from two delicious Hebrew root words, hallel and yah. Hallel, H-A-L-L-A-L, and yah, J-A-H. Now, yah is God's Yahweh, Hebrew, I am that I am, Old Testament name. All right? And hallel, in its simplest form, means to command praise of the Most High Yahweh God. Okay, so when you say hallelujah, you are saying in this universally spirit language, universally known spirit word, hallelujah. Now, it comes in a million different wrappers. Everything from fancy, the rolling of the syllables to Gomer Pyle. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, whatever. It means the same thing. However, if you were to break down the word Hallel, it has seven or eight different layers. I mean, I got to studying this the other day, ladies and gentlemen, and it just gripped me. About the third or fourth layer down, number four, I think it was, in the meaning of the word hallel. You got your shouting clothes on? You got your seatbelt on? It means, now open your spirit wide right now. Open it up. Utter and complete light, exploding in the face of utter and complete darkness. So, listen, when you utter the word, particularly with some passion, no religious spirit, but some passion, you are literally participating in God speak. It is the same language that God used when he spoke the universe into existence. Now, this is very, very important. This is something that I want to start peeling the layers back for a few minutes this morning. The Lord told me to come here this morning and share this. I knew it when I walked in the door. I knew it in Tulsa 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And pastors were just so wonderfully open to me coming, and I greatly appreciate it. Sometimes these last-minute, spontaneous, Holy Ghost things are the best things. Amen. Because the Lord said, you know what? You need some revelation information injected into the congregation at this moment in your growth, at this moment in your development, and you're evolving into what you're becoming. And so I'm so grateful to be here this morning. So grateful in God. I would rather be here than anywhere on earth. This is exactly where we're supposed to be together this morning. Now, hallelujah. So when you say hallelujah, you're literally saying light be. Glory to God. So when you don't know anything else to say, say hallelujah. And that will at least bring the light onto the scene that you need. It doesn't matter if you're 6 years old. By the way, the little girl that was sitting here on the steps, first she was doing this. Then she got drawn into the worship from the great worship team you have. And it is a wonderful worship team. Amen.
And then she's like this.
The Lord said to me, I am making an indelible imprint in her little spirit. Ooh, if Jesus tarries, you mark my words. You watch what happens with that young lady, that young woman of God. Hallelujah. You see, the things of the Spirit are much more real and tangible, really, than these hard copy, palpable, touchable, sensory related things. You know. Did you hear about the two angels? Now, this is not in the Bible, so don't look for it. It's just a joke. But it is in the Bible in principle. Two angels at creation, they're watching God. Now, here's Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the Trinity. It's like H2O, liquid, solid, gas, but it's still H2O. They're all God, but they all three have distinct personalities for three different reasons, for many different reasons. Well, here they are. Here is God, the unbegun one. I want to expand your thinking today. Here's God, the one that's never not been, the pre-existent one. I just give that a minute to soak in. And here's God the Son, and here's God the Holy Spirit. And then the first thing God made outside of his triune being, that he took his moral imprint from himself and took it externally, were the heavenly host, the angels. Messenger angels, worshiping angels, warring angels, all kinds of angels, seven or eight different kinds mentioned in the Word of God. And so these two angels, these two created beings, had never known anything but this spirit realm. So here they are at creation. And one of them elbows the other and he said, man, here's God speaking the universe into existence. And by the way, his words don't return void. Now, that doesn't mean just what you think it means. It means that when he spoke it eons ago, it's still creating worlds and universes beyond what we can dream. It didn't hit some wall out there and fall flat. I want you to expand today. That's why I'm here, expansion and worship. So one of the angels elbows the other and says, man, I'm having trouble with this creation thing. I mean, he's speaking things of planets and solar systems and critters and, you know, things and Adam and Eve and the angels just freaking out. And he said, I'm having trouble with this creation thing. And he said, well, what's wrong? Maybe I can help you, the other one said. And he said, well, how can something you touch and see be real? I know who watches Jeopardy. Amen. We have it so backwards, ladies and gentlemen. We always say, well, how can something I can't touch and see and taste and smell and feel, how can that be real? It's really the other way around. I want you to say this with me. On earth as it is in heaven. We all grew up hearing that prayer. On earth as it is in heaven. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the heavenly pattern for praise and worship. On earth as it is in heaven. And I guess this wasn't from 2 months ago. Oh, there isn't any in there. Ha, here it is. Thank you. Wrong church. Okay, sorry. All right. If I kneel down, it's just because I'm thirsty and getting a drink of water. Amen. Hallelujah. God has been saying to me for years, do you want me? Do you want me? Four words. He keeps saying it over at every level of my growth, at every compartment of my life, every stage of my 61 years now, he keeps saying, do you want me? And of course, my answer is always yes. So I want you to turn to Isaiah 6 for just a minute with me. Isaiah 6. And let's look at verse 1. If you didn't bring your Bible, thank God you have it all memorized. So in your mind, turn to Isaiah 6, verse 1. I got to get a couple of zingers in, you know. Amen. This book. You want to talk about supernatural? This is the most supernatural thing you'll ever possess in your life. This book right here. What it is, what it represents, the words that are in it. Totally supernatural. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord said to me, he said, what was it that I created first? And of course, we talked about that a minute ago. And I said, I thought about it for a minute. And I said, well, it was the heavenly host. He said, do you want to know why I created them? And I said, yes. Why did you create them first? He said, well, I've got my own onboard glory, of course. I am glory. But I only work in an atmosphere of glory. I created them to create an atmosphere of glory so I could step into that atmosphere of glory and speak the word to create. Are you here? All right. Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, now that was the king of Judah. You can read about him in 2 Chronicles 26 if you want to sometime. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Everybody say high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Now, verse 2, above it stood the seraphims, above the throne, stood seraphims, each one with six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he opened his feet, covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And here's verse 3, this one I want to concentrate on for a minute. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Let's keep going, then I'll come back to 3. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now the word smoke there in the Hebrew means the presence, the tangible presence of God like a cloud. And if you don't like loud, intense, passionate praise and worship, you're not going to like heaven. Because verse 4 says, heaven suffered structural damage because the praise was so intense. The doorposts moved. Now, when that happened, as any human flesh would, he said in verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. That means disconnected or cut off. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now catch this type of the ministry of Jesus, this Old Testament type and shadow of the ministry of salvation with Jesus, carried out by this angel here. Listen. Verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims. By the word, seraphim is a Hebrew word that means burner. These beings are so holy, they are aflame with perfection, with holiness, with flawlessness. They are a fire from the loins up and the loins down. They are literally, seraphim or seraph means burner. All right. Then flew one of the flaming seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin is purged. Woo! Now, it's funny that once the sin thing is taken care of, you can hear the voice of the Lord. Verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord himself saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Now, we've heard that scripture about missionary altar calls for years. And it is that for sure. But in this case, for me, when I study this, it means I will be your person on the earth, your mouthpiece on the earth, pour through me your presence. Pour through me your healing, your joy, your prosperity, your revelation information. Whatever you want, pour it through me. Your shalom, your peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Here am I, send me. Now back up to verse 3. Now one of these angels going, Isaiah stuck his head through the curtain of time and eternity, and he saw this scene. Angels going around the throne crying, holy, holy, holy. Now, you know, let me paint you a picture. What this literally is, and I'll say it as much as I can in earth talk, but pick it up in the spirit. Let it paint a picture for you. Let it change you. Here is the Father who created these beings to create an atmosphere of glory between their faces, sitting literally, as it were, floating. Ezekiel said it was like water, like torrents of crystal clear cascading water coming out from under the throne. He was sitting on this glory that he created them to create. They literally have the throne of God in a crossfire. Here's one angel, they're going around. Here's one yelling to the other. They're in a shout fest. They're on one side yelling to another. And one says, hey,
he said, you talking to me? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Every time I go around, I see a new facet to God's personality and character. Every time I wait till you see what I just saw. Oh, I've been around this throne a godzillion, twin trillion times. And I see something new every time. And wait till you get around and see what I just saw. And the other one says, who are you talking to? You think you saw something. Wait till you see what I just saw on the backside. And they're shouting about it, holy, holy, to each other. And glory is created between their faces. And he sits on it. See, here's God. Here's the heavenly host. Here's the glory that they create. Here's then the spoken word. And then here is material world. That's the way it happened. Whew, hallelujah. You know, the scientists, the nuclear physicists, the astrophysicists, Stephen Hawking and all these brilliant, brilliant people are finding all of these subatomic particles. They're finally catching up to the Bible. You know, if you read much or get on the internet, or if you're a scientific nut like I am, they're finding these subatomic particles, and one of the ones that's most interesting to me among all of them is the quark. I don't mean the guy with big ears on Deep Space Nine. I mean this subatomic particle. Did you ever know that God, did you ever notice God does circular things? You know, you see it here, circular. The angel's going around. You see a sun with this heavy, heavy, heavy center of gravity and mass. You see all of the creation going around it. Even inside the atom and the molecule itself, there are atoms. And inside those atoms is the nucleus and the, you know, around the nucleus is the protons, the neutrons, the electrons, all these trons, you know, going around, all these particles. And even the evaporation system in the earth is circular. There's so many circular things in the universe that God made. Angels encamp around about them that fear the Lord. I'll talk about Joshua and Jericho in a minute. You know where I'm going already. They got the city in a crossfire. And the walls came tumbling down. Turn to somebody and say, he's holy, about four times. You know what just happened between your faces? Glory was created. You're following me. Shh, hallelujah. So this quark is not one of these. This quark does this. It's a waveform. And you know, all these brilliant people, they're going, we don't understand it. It must be some kind of sound wave. I'm saying, yes, it is the sound wave. It is the imprint of let there be spoken in that atmosphere of glory. I'm going somewhere. Stick with me. Hallelujah. So when you open your mouth to praise and worship God, you are creating more than just some noise. You are creating this spiritual substance called glory. And that atmosphere of glory is necessary for God to speak and create and do things. He made it that way. He inhabits the praises of his people, where just two are together in agreement. Matthew 18, 18 and 19, the prayer of agreement. I mean, he's smack in the middle of that. When you get your faces together and you talk about how wonderful God is. Remember the Ark of the Covenant? What's on top? Two cherubim face to face. And the Word of God says there that the glory of God was in the midst of the cherubim, between their faces. We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. We're going to apply this to earth here in a little bit. Praise God. You are creating with the frequencies of worship this heavenly substance called glory. It is coming. I don't know if you've ever noticed when Lucifer, we'll talk about him in a second, was stripped of everything, cast out. You know, he had on board light shows, you know, lasers, sounds, strings, timbrels, all kinds of instruments were not played exteriorly. They were played from within himself. He was the leader of this holy, holy thing, by the way. He was the worship leader. He was in that circle going around, rooting everybody on and leading the processional. But when he was cast out, all that was removed from him except for one thing. All that, the pattern of that now is all external. We play external instruments now. Everything's external except for one thing. Because we are created in the image of God. And we are speaking spirits. We speak things into existence. We don't just knee-jerk and respond and nothing happens. You are like God in that everything you say comes to pass. Now, it doesn't come to pass as fast as God makes it come to pass. Thank God. We'd all be dead and bodily and in heaven. That'd be good, but, you know, grace, grace. Wonderful, merciful grace. Amen. But what you say eventually does build up a residue which becomes a reality every time. You make a deposit with your mouth every time it opens. You make a deposit somewhere for some eventuality. Just as air is the atmosphere that we breathe and that we live in here in the earth, glory is the atmosphere of the spirit realm, of which heaven is a part, and so on and so forth. One cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy. You have to take out the italicized words. And I want to put it into the correct Hebrew tense here. It's what we would call the imperative tense. In the Hebrew, it's the must be tense. All right? Here's the way it reads in the must be, the imperative tense, you understand. One cried unto another and said, holy, 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 the Lord of hosts. The whole earth must be made to be filled with his glory, is the way that reads. Instead of the whole earth is, see, that's an italicized word, so you take it out, is full of his glory. The whole earth full of his glory. And the Hebrew means there, must be made to be filled with his glory. Well, how does that happen? Listen to this. We are in the earth, we are the glory producers. So if you say, God, pour out your glory, you know what the Lord says? The ball's in your court. You want some glory? Get together and talk about how good I am. Get together and open up this supernatural cosmic book and sing praises to me. And quote what I've said back to me, which will draw me into the situation. Talk the answer, not the problem. Talk the remedy, not the problem. Talk the solution, not the problem. It's not acknowledging that it doesn't exist. That's not what we do. We're not liars. We say that this is a physical reality. I mean, you know, the doctor has the right to diagnose, but he does not have the right to prophesy. And neither does the banker, and neither do your flaky relatives. Hallelujah. This is the bottom line. So let this be in your cake hole 24/7. Let this be in your PA system that's hooked onto your human spirit called your mouth. You're like one of those asphalt machines I saw on I-75 the other day coming down here. There were trucks backed up, you know. There's some construction north of here. You know about that. You've driven through the barrels, you know. And these asphalt trucks were backing up and loading their black, hot, steamy cargo into the hopper of this paving machine. And as it would creep along backwards, you know, up the interstate, this beautiful ribbon of highway would come out. Just beautiful, quiet, smooth, no potholes, you know, nice fresh paint on up the road once it cooled off and dried, you know. And just a pleasure to drive on, you know. And the Lord said, that's like you. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you put the word in that hopper and out of your mouth comes that ribbon of highway that you walk into your future on. He said, the great thing about it is I can meet you on the 50-yard line because I can come down the road that other way and meet you with your supply, whatever you need. Because you didn't create a bunch of potholes, boulders, and IEDs along the way, improvised explosion devices. You gave me a nice highway to access you on. Faith. The highway of faith. Hallelujah. Oh, see, we praise till the worship comes. Then we worship until the glory comes. And then we stand in the glory and just let God do His perfect will. Turn to somebody and say, He's holy, about 3 or 4 times. You know, I'm a quarter Jewish. Our name is Minkiewicz. My grandfather was a Polish Jew. He came over to the U.S. in 1909, and he worked in the coal mines up in Virginia where I was raised. And down in the coal mines, he met some Jesus freaks like you. And he gave his heart to the Lord and became a completed Jew. So he shortened his name to Mink because of the persecution of the day. And here we are, a bunch of little furry critters named Mink. Amen. Anyway, it's a wild thing to hear what he and others would say, that God didn't just speak the worlds into existence. There's a lot of proof in Scripture and in the scientific world that He sang the worlds into existence. Job said that the stars have a frequency that they give off, much like a song. In Job 38, verse 7, he says, the stars sing. See, you praise and worship by faith, right? You've never seen physically God. You do it by faith. You sense His presence, so you know He's there, but you do it by faith. And the Word of God says, now here we go with the two angels at creation, the joke I told, the spirit being more real than the physical. When you do things by faith, Hebrews 11:1 says that it has substance, it has tangibility, it's palpable, it's touchable. There is something real. It has evidence and it has substance. When you do something by faith, more real than the hard copy that you're looking at. All right? So when you worship God by faith, you are creating this spiritual substance called glory. And Isaiah 6, verse 3 says the whole earth must be made to be filled with this stuff. And that we are the glory producers. Turn to somebody and say, you are the glory producer. Did you ever notice how the Holy Spirit will begin to move and the Spirit of God begins to move when we are at a certain level of worship? We don't just come in after an argument in the parking lot and a bad hair day and the kids acting up and the payments due and the burdens of this and the burdens of that. We just don't walk in and start having a spiritual gusher. We prepare by getting together and creating an atmosphere of glory. Then the glory provides that lubrication for the Spirit of God to move freely. Hallelujah. I've been in meetings with Brother Copeland, been leading worship for him for 32 years. And all over the world, I've seen things. I'm so privileged to see things. I don't have time to go into all of them, but let me tell you, most of the major miracles we have seen in Kenneth Copeland Ministries, who in my opinion is one of the premier ministries of the earth of all time, and they've been during praise and worship. Now they were sealed with that word of God. They were amplified and they grew and they were magnified by the word of God. And then sometimes at the end of the word of God, they were made manifest, but they took place, the beginnings of them took place in that praise and worship for a half hour before Kenneth gets up, or Gloria, or Creflo, or Jerry, or Jesse, or any of them that we all work with. I'm telling you. Jacob saw a ladder. Remember the vision of Jacob's ladder? We are climbing Jacob's ladder. And the Methodist Church, eating my vanilla wafers and drinking my grape juice. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. I didn't know what it meant, but we are climbing. You know, every rung gets higher. Oh, well. You've been to my church. Amen. Jacob saw a ladder and he saw angels ascending and descending. In the Hebrew, the word ladder is the word sulam, S-U-L-A-M. It appears 100 it has a numeric value of 136. You know, everything in the Hebrew alphabet and the Hebrew words all have numeric values. You know, everything's, God is math. Everything's math. Everything has a mathematic numeric value to it, or assignment, or label, or sign on it. It's very complex, but just take my word for it. Now, the word ladder is sulam, which has a numeric value in the Hebrew alphabet, that word, of 136. You add up all of the various letters. Pardon me. I had to go that way because you do it backwards. Now, voice, this voice, is the Hebrew word kol, K-O-L, sometimes K-O-H-L, and that is a Hebrew surname, by the way, Israeli surname, kol. And it means voice. And it has a numeric value of 136 as well. Whenever you see a Hebrew word that has this numeric value and another Hebrew word that has the same numeric value, they are cousins. They are related. So what does this mean in Jacob's ladder? I'm just giving this as one of thousands of examples in the Bible where this is true. The voice is a method of ascent into the glory of God. Not only is it a method of ascent, it is more specifically accurate to say it is a method of entrance into the glory of God. Whew, are you getting this? I know it's soaking in. I've scribbled down some things here I just don't want to miss. The bottom line is we are the glory producers. Hallelujah. I love Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You know why? Because people who who are true believers know that when a boast is in the Lord, it makes them glad. But when the boast is in the flesh, it makes them sad. Amen. Just like it does the Lord. And here's verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name forever. Whew. Together. Actually, it says together. Let magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. With us and together. Here we are again, face to face, creating that atmosphere of glory. You got to understand, this is why Lucifer said, I'm going to be like the Most High. He was the leader of this. He saw the adulation. He saw this tangible glory. He saw the power. He saw what was possible out of this atmosphere of glory, of worship and praise. And he said, I want that for me. I got to have that for me. I will be like El Elyon, the Most High. And he got kicked out over it. You know what he saw? Listen, he still tries to do it today. He still tries to get us together to talk trash, face to face. Then when we do talk trash and unbelief and fear and circumstances and just the physical, five physical senses all the time, natural. And particularly if we talk negative natural, which most of it is, amen. An atmosphere of anti-glory is created. And he, wanting to be like the Most High, steps into that atmosphere that we create between our faces and speaks the word to kill, steal, and destroy. Ooh, see, it works. It's like faith. It works all the time. Either way, either direction, it works. It's faith. You can have faith in the word. You can have faith in the negative stuff. But faith still works. Because you get what you believe for. And you get what you say. You say what you believe for. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you fill your heart with the word of God constantly. See, our number one problem in the body of Christ is our low word level. We've got to get more word in us so we become seasoned and we live out of the overflow of the word, not just grasping enough to get by and take one breath and breathing out of a straw out of our nostril, just enough to get enough oxygen to live 1 minute to the next. God wants us to be engorged with the word of God. Whew. And a great part of that is worshiping him with the word. Walk around singing the psalms to him. You know, the word psalm is kind of an unfortunate translation of the real root word. I'm not like the guy on my big fat Greek wedding that says everything came from a Greek language. You know, a lot of it did. You know, wasn't that hilarious? That was just a great movie. But anyway, a lot of things do come. The word psalm literally means in the Hebrew raving and boasting. A song of raving and boasting about our God. So if you want to turn to, a psalm, you can say, well, I'm going to turn to raving and boasting number 112. And I'm going to find out who I am in the Psalms. Amen. It's awesome. It's awesome. Whew. So where's the glory created? Between our lips, between our faces. See, there's a huge difference in a worship leader and a lead worshiper. Huge difference. I said to the Lord, Brother Copeland called me about leading worship for them, and I thought, man, I've only done Kumbaya by the Methodist campfire. And I didn't even know I thought he's come by here or some African thing. I don't know. But it was just so, you know, for the first church of the Frigidaire, it was a cool thing, you know. Kumbaya, my Lord. And then I'd go smoke a joint. Anyway. God's good, isn't he? A worship leader can be somebody that's just, you know, decent with the talent, decent with the presentation, and, you know, is mechanically doing the job and all of that, but they're not developed in their own heart of worship. they're more of a performer than a worshiper. Now, a lead worshiper is somebody that's got it going on behind closed doors. And I said to the, and they take it public. I said to the Lord, what is that? What do you mean? Brother Copeland called me and asked me to do this. Should I do it? He said, yes, this is my plan for the rest of your life. I thought I'd just do it a year or two. But the Lord said, rest of your life. It's been 32 years so far. Probably going to be another 32 years when I'm 92. That'll be all right. Amen. I can tell you right now, 120 or more. Amen. It's what the Jews believe for. When they make a toast, you know what they say in Hebrew? 120 or more. Some of you look like me. You're on jury duty looking at me like, yeah. Get what you believe for. At least shoot high anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. And then do your part to stay healthy and wise, full of the Word of God. Amen. And sowing seed so you can be wealthy. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I asked the Lord, yeah, I'll do it. Of course I'll do it. Yes, sir, I love you. I worship you. I praise you. I said, what do I do? He said, well, just two things. He said, you're a worshiper in private. Now just take that out in front of people and I'll do the rest. I will create a maelstrom, a tornadic thing. I will cause people to be drawn into my presence when you stand in front of people and sing and worship me. And I said, well, what are my marching? I'm ex-military. So I said, what are my marching orders? He said, just wherever you go, create an atmosphere for me to be myself. That dog will hunt. Amen. Hey, Brother Mac, amen. You are the glory producer. And it's really up to you and your choice. You create the glory where God can manifest his power publicly and privately. I want to say that again. You create the glory, the atmosphere where God can manifest his power, both privately, in your marriage, in your friendships, your relationships, your business. People should walk into your business and not just see a bunch of Jesus is Lord signs, expect a miracle. That's good. But they ought to sense something. Mark Barclay, you know Dr. Barclay? Mark Barclay is a good friend of ours. He was a Marine sergeant, did two tours in Vietnam, and he was just, he's something else. He's one of the most amazing men of God I know. And he said he was on a plane the other day, and he was flying to London to preach, and this guy had a Quran, and he was reading it, and he was doing, you know, the kind of under his breath, some prayers and all that. So Mark says, okay. So he just whipped out his Bible. And the guy looks over and said, is that a Bible? He said, yeah. He said, is that a Quran? He said, yeah. Okay. And so the guy kind of turned away and began to, you know, do his thing. And he kept coming back over to Mark. Mark was just reading and laughing and reading and praising God and reading and, you know, just smiling and going, oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yeah. And this guy finally, it irritated the guy. Mark said, you want to have a contest? See, you shouldn't be afraid to do something like that. And the guy said, yeah. He said, all right, you go first. You pray to your God. And let's see if he shows up and does something. So he shut his Bible and he closed his eyes. Mark did. And this guy does his, you know, salami bologna thing and he, you know, all this. I don't mean to be disrespectful to people, but I'm being disrespectful to non-truth. Amen. So counterfeits. Amen. So about 5 minutes went by and he stopped praying. And Mark said, do you feel anything? The guy said, no. Said, did your God show up and do anything? I mean, do you feel, is anything happening? The guy said, well, I guess not. Mark said, well, it's my turn. So he opened his Bible and he looked at it for a second. He put his hands up. He closed his eyes and said, oh, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Boom! It hit that man like to knock him through that window. He had tears coming down his face. He said, "You win. You win." Now, if you're by yourself, you can create this atmosphere of glory as well. You know why? Because there's angels all around you in the unseen realm, which is more real than where you're sitting, going holy, holy, and praising God. You can get face to face with one of them, with your personal angel, wherever you are. I was in, do you have Kroger down here? A grocery store. I was in the grocery store a couple of years ago. And I'm getting a hold of this. So I'm by myself in aisle 4. It was right before Thanksgiving. I was sent to do all the shopping with the turkey and the aluminum foil and all the dressing and all the stuff, you know. So I'm getting all the stuff, and I'm a good cook, and I help Kathy, and it's great. And we're always looking forward to it. So I'm in aisle 4, and I'm holy, holy, and all over the place. So I come around the end of aisle 5, and I see this guy at the end with a little handbasket, and all of a sudden I hear this noise, and it's cans flying out, and his basket's flying, and he's running to me. He's running at me, not to me, at me, and running as fast as he can. And I thought, oh, Lord, am I going to have to Bruce Lee this guy, you know? And the Lord said, be cool, it's of me. He took a leap through the air, and he hugged me around the neck and fell at my feet and hugged my knees and started weeping. I said, and so I knelt down, you know, and held him and started rocking back and forth. He was just crying his guts out. And I just said, sir, what's going on? He said, he named his denomination, pastor, former pastor. I had an affair. Nothing new, is there? And my people and my family and everybody, I had to stand down, of course, which you should have, for restoration and so forth. He said, but they just have crucified me. Everybody's just totally sent me out in the desert to die. And that's not right either, obviously. And he said, I came in here. As you can see, laying on the floor back there is a Swanson turkey dinner microwave. And I was going to have my last Thanksgiving meal by myself in my sleazy little apartment by myself. And then I was going to blow my brains out with the 357 I've got in my car. And I prayed and I said, God, I've got to have an answer. And I'm telling you, he said, I walked around the end of the aisle and all I saw was a person with a face pulsating with the glory of God. I couldn't even see your face. Remember Moses? I couldn't even see your face. He said, I said, that's it. And he threw his stuff down and he ran to the glory. And I helped restore him. I got him plugged into a local pastor. He's doing great. He's back in the ministry, actually. Moses had this supernatural life. Oh, this Hebrew kid, you know, had to be, to save his own life, got floated right into Pharaoh's daughter's life. She fell in love with him, took him into the household of Pharaoh, you know, the story. And, you know, who's going to raise this child? Of course, Moses' own mother jumped out of the bulrushes and said, well, I just happen to be a wet nurse and I can do this. You know, anyway, she raised her own child in the king's palace there, so to speak. And first 40 years of his life, just amazing. Tried to take by force what God wanted to give by grace. Had the Egyptian killed. Big serious problem. Ended up on the backside of the desert because of that for 40 years. The second 40 years of his life. Then the third 40 years of his life. Glorious. Of course, awesome stuff went. So he's at the foot of Sinai as an old guy. And he's saying, Exodus 33. He's saying, oh God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And God said, you want to see my glory? And this is very interesting. God said, you want to see my glory? Oh, he said, oh, yes. Yeah, show me your glory. Whatever it takes. I'll do whatever it takes. He said, okay, come on. Come up. And, you know, the people thought, well, he's toast. You know, he's going to do a flesh meltdown, you know. Because you got to understand the fire and the lightnings and the intense heat and the noises of God's manifest presence was sitting up on that mountain, scaring the fire out of everybody, basically. And here he goes up into that. And they think, well, that's the end of that. That's the end of this. That's the end of him. That's the end of everything. I just threw my gold in the vat and the calf jumped out. I don't understand any of it, you know. So they went totally back without their leader to absolute garbage. And by the way, Babylonian, keep in mind that the middle part of Babylonian is baloney. Bab, baloney. And I don't know why I said that, but that's for somebody. Anyway. So he goes up on the mountain and he says, show me your glory, Lord. Show me. He said, okay, you want to see my glory? Get back here in the cleft of the rock. I don't want you to do meltdown. So he puts him in the cleft of the rock, puts his hand in front of him. And he's looking through God's fingers, so to speak. I don't know how this happened, but God made it tangible to where he could actually protect him. He said, I'll show you my glory. And the word says there, as God passed by, Moses was only able to see the hinder parts of God. And you're thinking, you know, that's his Nike label on the back of God's tennis shoes or something, you know. Or his little comet trail, you know, or what else. But you know, if you look that up in the Hebrew, hinder parts is the word for history. You know what God said to Moses? I'm going to show you an infomercial of myself I've never done for anybody before. I'm going to show you my hinder parts, what happened in the past. I'm going to show you how I took care of my covenant people from Adam to this present moment. How do you think he wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy? And he came down with that glow on his face. Whew. Have you been in the presence of God enough? Have you taken time? See, you're a transmitter. You have a frequency. The world has a frequency, and the spirit has a frequency. And you either transmit to the world around you the spirit and the frequency and the radio signals, so to speak, of the world or of the kingdom. What do you transmit? I'll tell you, what you transmit is what you watch on TV. It's what you listen to on the radio station. It's what you talk about. You know, the ear gate and the mouth and the eye gate. Can people have their life and death situations altered when you walk into the room? That's just between you and God. If not, make an adjustment. It's kind of like diet. Do you want to live? Then eat right. Exercise. Get rid of that stuff that's killing you. Get rid of all those things that are killing you. I won't go into that. But change. You can change. You can change. You spend time worshiping God and you become infused with the Word of God. And you begin to vibrate and move with the frequency of the things of God. And just because you walk into a room, things can change. And you have to use your faith and expect them to change too. Oh, I got to hurry up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, it's so good, isn't it? Isn't this wonderful? I'm so excited. I just scratched and scratched and scratched. And I can't even read half my tongues here. Amen. Hallelujah. See, God tabernacles in or inhabits the praises of his people. I was in a Copeland meeting one time leading worship, and I opened my eyes and I saw building material coming up from people's worship. I saw it with my open eyes, though I know it was in the spirit. I literally saw it with my open eyes. All kinds of multicolored things and golden, platinum-looking stuff going up. And as it went up, right up here, a building, a real ornate, beautiful temple-looking thing began to take shape. And it was the building materials of praise and worship coming out of the mouth of the people that was building him a place to indwell and manifest himself. Are you comfortable in the powerful manifested presence of God? Is he comfortable in your presence? That's a question we need to ask every day. Like God keeps saying to me, do you want me? Or am I just another label? You know, there's a difference between identity and identification. Identification is doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. It's the color of your skin. It's the neighborhood you live in. It's whether you're from this part of the world, your ancestry and your genetics are from Asia or Africa or Spain or wherever. You know, that's not who you are. That's things about you. They're important things. Don't get me wrong. And we need to flow with that and keep that alive, of course, because that's very important to a people. But that's not who you are. And if you get those two things confused, if you look to those labels and those things to find out who you are and that integral part of yourself as your identity, you're only going to know, you're never really going to find out who you are. That's the definition of being lost. Now, identity is found in the handbook of the one that made you. Who you are, like in the New Testament alone, there's 136 in him, in whom, in Christ, in God. If you want to find out who you are, get in your concordance and look for all the in hims and all the in whoms and in Christ. And in, that's who you are. See, we all wear tons of labels around, just like the kind of drink we drink, with the kind of clothing we wear, all have labels, the kind of, you know, Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, whatever. We have all of these labels, but like the old country boy said, your label don't make no never mind. It's either going to burn off going down or blow off going up. Don't you love it? Hallelujah. So peel the labels off and don't pay attention to any of the labels on other people. You know, we are a generation of mask rippers. We like to go up to people in their sin and go, aha! We're the aha generation. Judgmental, self-righteous. By the way, you know what the Lord told me about self-focus the other day? It literally floored me. I sat down in the floor when the Lord said it. I was standing in my study at my house. I got a little office study thing, and I sat down in the floor because it hit me so hard. He said, you know what self-focus and self-centeredness is? I said, what? He said, it's a form of cannibalism. I said, what? He said, yeah, you feed on yourself all the time, you get sick. You feed on your own needs all the time, you get sick. I need, I want. It's like my favorite movie, What About Bob? Bill Murray's going, you know, he's this incredible nutcase. He's going, I need, I want. You know, self-focus. Not being willing to step out of that zone of comfortable predictability into the arena of faith will keep you sick. It'll keep you weak. Oh, we're going to heaven, but we got to be strong. We got to set an example. We've got to be the actual presence of God going somewhere to happen. And worship is one of the greatest ways. Worship with the Word, one of the greatest ways to do that together. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Turn to somebody and say, He's holy, about 3 or 4 times. I got to stop. I'm telling you. You know, listen. In Acts 16, remember Paul and Silas in the jail? At midnight. Everybody say at midnight. You know, they've been beaten within an inch of their life. Their backs like hamburger. They've been forgotten by the Christians. They've been set up by the religious establishment, the political establishment. They've been beaten within an inch of their life. And they're in, I don't mean Wall Street, but they're in stocks and bonds. Amen. They're hurting. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been to 58 countries so far. Most of them third world countries. And I've seen and ministered in some third world jails. But now we're talking a couple thousand years ago, they were even worse. You cannot conceive the horror in one of these places. The absolute God-awful horror in these places. So I want to paint you a picture. Paul and Silas at midnight in stinking old rusty iron chains and handcuffs. And bound hand and foot in the middle of the night, hurting, bleeding, rats running around. People can't just say, excuse me, take my handcuffs off. I'm going to go to the men's room. No, they do it right there. Forgive me. But I want to paint a graphic picture of when faith works the best. is sometimes when things are the toughest. And you know what Paul said at midnight? Out of his mouth, because of a decision in his heart that he made, even though he didn't feel like it, he did the right thing. He said, if you'll join me, matter of fact, let's just praise the Lord. I feel a prayer coming on. I feel a song coming on, Silas. Silas said, lead out, brother. I'm right with you. So they started rattling those chains and worshiping God and made up a song. Probably one of, what it was. Maybe one of the Psalms of David. I don't know. Probably one of the songs from the Word of God that David wrote. And they began to worship God, and the glory of God hit that place and blew those chains off of them, opened the door to every cell, and nobody left. No prisoner ran out into the night. Why? Because the very same thing that they were searching for to fill the void in their little hearts, that caused them to get thrown in the slammer to begin with, that search for significance, that search for peace, that search for meaning. They found it all of a sudden in a split second through worship and praise, invoking the presence of God. Are you here? Are you getting this? Is this making a dent in something? Oh, glory to God. I want it to. I want it to. God wants it to. You are the glory producer. You're the one to make a difference in people's lives. Hallelujah. That was the first church in that area. You know, that missionary journey that Paul and Silas took, if you look in the missionary journeys in the back of your Bible, you'll find that's the most deeply penetrated the gospel got to the northwest of the Holy Land of Israel and, you know, the Mideast ever. And let me just submit this to you, something the Holy Spirit showed me. I never heard this from another person except the person of the Holy Spirit the other day. He said, that decision to worship me in the middle of the night caused me to be able to have an atmosphere of glory to come and set those people free, to save all those captives, all those prisoners, and all those people, all those down and outers, and to start a church there. And I think the jailer probably became the first pastor. It's just my idea, you know, pretty good historic accuracy, I think. And he said that was the incident and the missionary journey that eventually, and you study this out, this is the truth, that eventually brought the gospel to Europe and to you. Hallelujah. 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 Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you're ill, I want you to come down here in the front. If you are near bankruptcy, I want you to come down the front here. If you're tormented with depression and fear, I want you to come right. Come on, get out of your seat. Come down here right now, right here in the front, and stand. Don't stand in a line either. Stand in a cluster, because we're going to do something. The Lord just told me to do something. If there's illness, if there's bad reports, if there's just the devil ravaging you some way, we're going to get you in the crossfire this morning. All right, everybody cluster together. Come on right up here. Cluster together. All right, all the rest of you, get out of your seats and get on either side of them. Come on, all the rest of you, get out of your seat. Please. You don't have to be humble. Just come on up. See, so much has happened in my life. So many experiences. So much is going on. So little time before Jesus comes. I'm less and less like Mr. Rogers and more like Clint Eastwood. And you need to be that way. I don't mean without love, but just no BS. Your BS-ometer ought to be real sensitive. Not at the expense of love. But just don't put up with anything. I don't mean be ugly. You know what I'm saying? Take your stand. You take your stand today. Now, what, those of you in the middle, just to be quiet, those who have come up as the need was, you know, come up if you have a need. And those on this side and those on this side, I want you to put your hands up toward them and toward the people over there. And I want you to start worshiping the Lord, and I want you to start crying, holy, holy, holy. Put your hands up and use your voice and get them in the crossfire. He's holy. Holy is our God. Holy is our God. He's holy. I said he's holy. Holy is our God. Hallelujah. Holy is our God. Do like the angels. Cry, holy, holy, holy. Holy is our God. Holy is our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Holy is our God. Holy is our God. Hallelujah. Light be. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy is our God. You're holy, Lord. Holy is our God. Holy is our God. Yes. Come on, turn up your volume. Turn up your volume. Holy is our God. Holy is our God. Holy is our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, in this atmosphere of glory that we have created between our faces, we give the faith command. We speak the word to be healed in Jesus' name. We speak to every molecule in your being to correct and alter and be free of disease and to realign in Jesus' name. We command the mental state, depression, anxiety, and fear to be gone in Jesus' name. Be released from its grip in Jesus' name. Financial pressure and the reasons that it took place. Physical problems and the reason they took place become evident and will change those things, Lord. Mental reasons for things the way they are. Spiritual reasons for the things that have happened. We address those in the Spirit and Holy Spirit. We ask you to go into our subconscious and clean house right now by the Holy Ghost. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you that it's done. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now just put your hands up and praise him, everybody. Put your hands up and praise him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, dear God. You're awesome, Lord. Okay, you may go back to your seats. Rejoicing and free. Amen. Now be careful of the next thing that comes out of your mouth. Be careful of the next thing that comes out of your mouth. Don't say, I hope so. Say, I know so. Pastor, could you hand me that product right there on the front row? Thank you so much. Bless you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to the living God. Listen, thoughts are not sins. They're temptations. Listen to this. A thought unspoken dies unborn. See, thoughts, God did not think the worlds into existence. He didn't do like I dream of genie. No, he spoke things into existence. So a thought unspoken dies unborn. Don't ever forget that. The mind is the arena of faith. So just put the word in there. And say out of your cake hole what the word says and not what your thought said. Because your thought's usually going to be pretty dark, pretty negative. And for God's sake and yours, get delivered from what they think. See, yeah. They didn't die on the cross for you. I have a psychiatrist friend of mine, spirit-filled believer, great, great doctor. He says, great MD, great psychiatrist. He said, he's a good friend and a brother in the Lord, spirit-filled, tongue-talking psychiatrist. Amen. He said, we don't run our lives by what other people think. We run our lives by what we think other people think. He said, have you ever seen anything so ludicrous and idiotic in your life? You stand up for who you are in Christ. And you plant your feet in the Word of God. And don't you take no from somebody that can't say yes in life. That's just some everyday life information. Don't just, when people say no or you see the hand, you know, talk to the hand. You say no, you talk to the Lord. And the hand will do this. Instead of this, it'll do this. Amen. Joshua. Around Jericho. Angel appeared to Joshua and he said, you want to get in? You want to get into the city? He said, oh yeah. I said, yeah. You know, and then Rahab's on the inside helping with the crossfire. Don't you love it? The Lord used a harlot in his own bloodline. She's in the bloodline of Jesus. See, that's grace. Grace. Sweet mercy and sweet grace. But for God's grace, we'd all be a cesspool of protoplasm floating in the universe without a purpose, you know. So the angel said, you know, go around the city once a day for 6 days. Don't say a word. Just, you know. And there's several million of them. It's a pretty big procession. It takes a long time. So they tromped around the city. Can't you imagine the dust storm that came up from their sandals, you know, and how it freaked the people out up on the wall looking down? That'd unnerve anybody. And on the seventh day, he said, go around seven times. You have to get up early because it's a long way around and you're a lot of people. So, but on the seventh turn around the city, open your mouth and began to shout and worship me. Guess one of the things they said? Holy, holy, holy is our God. Holy. They began to worship and praise God. They said, when you hear the shofar, that'll be the sign to come cut loose and worship God. You know the story. And, man, I tell you, seventh time around, at the end of the seventh revolution around the city, that happened. And you know, my seventh grade science teacher said, well, the molecules are like locked arms and they hold things together. And yeah, you know, and well, these molecules just dropped contact with all the other molecules and the walls disintegrated in the crossfire. I don't think you get that. The walls, the rocks became sand. And the ground opened up and they sank down. They found the ruins of Jericho and they're way below the surface. This building material. You got a problem? Put it in the crossfire. I want to tell you real quickly about things I didn't get to do to the beginning of the service because I had to deliver this and the Lord went the right way. He always does. I've been doing a character for years with a little duck voice.
Hallelujah.
Named Gospel Duck.
I just love the Lord. Hallelujah.
And Gospel Duck's awesome. Gospel Duck has done so much for children and believe it or not for adults. Because, you know, adults let their guard down. Oh, children's ministry. Praise God. Then the Holy Spirit's been waiting to get into you for 14 and a half years about a certain thing. You've dropped your guard because it's children's ministry. And boom, you get delivered and set free because of a duck. Not the Holy Goose, the Holy Ghost. Amen. He loves to sing the doxology and the benediction. Okay, never mind. Don't laugh. It makes me worse. I used to sing in a nightclub. Okay. I am the president and founder of I Refuse Not to Have a Good Time Ministries. Amen. Sometimes at your expense. I'm sorry. But anyway, Gospel Duck has made numerous recordings, and I brought a couple of them with us. This is Gospel Duck and Friends music video. It's a DVD. It's wonderful. And here's the new thing that's getting awards and causing a lot of people like John Walsh of America's Most Wanted to talk to me personally, which we did. about this, and it's called Staying Safe with Gospel Duck. It is a sing-along experience with dialogue with boys and girls and Gospel Duck. It's a faith-based child safety product. It's how to predator-proof your kids with the 91st Psalm, the blood of Jesus, with angels, with the authority of the believer that you need to get into these little munchkins right away. Also, my wonderful wife, who sends her love to you, is one of the most wonderful teachers. We're on TV all over the world now, just in the last several weeks. Kathy and I, it's called Len and Kathy. We're on in 173 countries. We're on DirecTV, channel 377, on TCT. We're on, next month, we're going on the Dish Network. We're on Sky Angel. We're on 1,800 cable systems. And the Lord told me 31 years ago this was going to happen. And he said, it's going to happen in your 50s. So at 50, I'm looking. At 55, I'm looking. At 59, I'm really looking. But I know better than to mess with it. You know, I know better than to mess with it. You don't want to take by force what God wants to give you by grace through faith. See, timing's everything. You can smell the cake cooking. You know God's promises. You can look through the glass and see it through the glass of faith. But you don't want to whip it out of that oven until it's ready because it's not usable. It's not seasoned. It's not its season. It's not time. But when it is time, and that cake's come out of the oven for me and Kathy just now, just this year. And the network's ready to explode and go four times the size that it is now. And it's in 173 countries now. And it's going to go to Mars or somewhere. I don't know. But look us up, Len and Kathy, TCT, Total Christian Television, TCT.TV. And miss your favorite show? Yes. Push then Len and Kathy and you'll see us on the web if you want to. My wonderful wife, awesome teacher. She was a model for Eileen Ford in New York. I saw her on the cover of 17 magazine first when I was doing the Tonight Show a lot, and with Johnny Carson and Merv Griffin, Mike Douglas, Steve Allen, all those shows that back in the back, you know, for you young ones, that's the old Jay Leno. All right. And then here's one called Songs They Sing in Heaven. You know, the Lord in Zephaniah, the Lord says he rejoices over us with singing. I said, what do you sing? He said, you're one of the few people that ever asked me that. I just heard it come right back to me. I said, what are you singing? He said, get your pad and your pencil. He gave me 10 songs, everything from big bands to little children singing. There's a song on here called Throw Away Children, sung by aborted children back to the earth. It'll make the hair stand up on the back. It'll make you bawl and squall, but it's edifying. It's not sad. It's good. Songs They Sing in Heaven. Here's one I did with Kenneth and Gloria. Some of you have this. It's called Healing Praise. And it's me singing and Kenneth and Gloria Copeland doing scriptures between the songs. Or if they're telling it, I'm doing songs between their scriptures. And it's called Healing Praise. This outsells everything at Kenneth Copeland Ministries 4-1. And that's saying something. Because they move a lot of product into the world. Thank God they do. And here's my newest one. Called God of the Breakthrough, which I didn't get to do anything on this morning. It is wonderful. God of the Breakthrough. Now, today only, everything out there is $10 instead of $15 and $20. So it's $10. So take advantage of it. Amen. We take IOUs, food stamps, handshakes, pats on the backs. If you can't afford it, take one anyway. But if you can, so. Amen. Pastor, thanks for letting me take almost a half hour longer. Thank you. I love you. God bless you. One final question. I know most of us here are believers, but if anybody is here that you've been running from God and this is your moment to come back home to Father or to give your heart to Jesus for the first time, I want you to lift your hand. Give me a wave. I want to pray a special prayer for you. You don't need to leave here questioning. Anybody, you want to firm up your commitment to the Lord. I see some people elbowing other people. Anybody have the guts to put your hand up and give me a wave? Anybody? I can't see for the lights. Anybody? Amen. Come on up here. Hey, come up here for a minute. Whoever put their hand up, come up for a minute. Come on. You can leave your purse. Nobody will go through it. Amen.